This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we continue with the series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick shows us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message, or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Showing Respect.
We live in a very rude world. Would you agree with that? Just people are becoming more and more rude. Common courtesy isn't so common anymore. I read a couple articles. One was called America's Uncivil Wars, the decline of respect in America. And another one that I read was called The Age of Irreverence. And it seems that respect for other people, respect for property, respect for institutions is at an all-time low. And you look at how people have respected these institutions in the past, and today very few people respect the government, respect educational institutions, respect big business, respect the post office, respect law enforcement, respect religious institutions, and on and on and on. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that respect is one of those values that a stable family is built on, a stable life is built on. In fact, it's even the framework for a civilized society. If there isn't respect among people for rights and for responsibilities and for each other, then civilization decays. The Bible's real specific about this. It says that we are to honor our parents. That's the fifth commandment. We are to respect people in authority, like those in government, those in law enforcement, those in military. We are to respect church leaders, whether they wear socks or not. The Bible says that wives are to respect and reverence their husbands in Ephesians, and the Bible says in 1 Peter that husbands are to respect and reverence their wives. And just in case God forgets anybody, he says in the Bible, there in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's on your outline, he says, shows proper respect to everyone. To everyone. He says everybody is worthy of respect. Now, you want to be respected. That's one of your basic needs in life. You want other people to treat you with dignity. And so today we're going to look at how do you give and get respect, because they're the same thing. The way you get respect is the same way that you give it. And that's what we're going to look at today. But before we do, let me just quickly give you four reasons why the Bible says you should respect everybody, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of their decisions, regardless of their behavior or their beliefs. The Bible says every person should be treated with respect. Why? Four reasons. Number one, because God made everybody. God made everybody. Psalm 8:5 says, "You, God, made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor." Everybody's created by God, and God doesn't make junk. There are no worthless people. There are people who do worthless things. There are people who do wrong things, but they are all of value to God. And even the most unlovable person is loved by God. Number two, because Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. The Bible says God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Now, I may not think much of somebody, but God does. In fact, he says, they're worth dying for. And the cross shows how much people matter to God. God said, I died for people. Even people who don't believe in me, even people who reject me, even people who choose to disobey me. He says, I still died for them because they're people of worth. They're people of value. God made them. Christ died for them. The third reason we should respect everybody is because it shows I know God. It shows that I really do know God. The Bible says that God is love, and if I know God, then I'm going to fill my life with love. 1 John 4:8 says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love. And love always treats people with respect. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he treated even his enemies with respect, even those who wanted to kill him. He wasn't rude to them. He wasn't demeaning to them, but he treated even the people who were trying to put him to death with respect. Now, if I'm filled with Jesus Christ's love, and if God is living through me, and Christ's Spirit is living through me, then I'm going to treat other people the way Jesus did. I'm going to treat them with value and with dignity. Yesterday morning, Kay and I had an argument. It's a typical marriage argument. It wasn't anything that we didn't, a big blow up, but we resolved it. But after that, we were talking, and I got to thinking that the number one test of my faith is my relationships. You might write that down. It's not what you believe or what you say you believe that matters as much as how that belief comes out in your behavior. The number one test of my faith is my relationships. Matthew 25, one of the things we'll be judged for at the judgment, it says, is how we treated other people. How we treated other people. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that love is not rude. So what's rudeness? I mean, we see it all around us, but what really is it? Well, at the bottom line, rudeness is simply disrespect. If I'm rude to you, it means I don't care about you. You don't matter to me. You're not worth much. You're not valuable in my eyes. When I'm rude, I'm just basically saying, I'm the only thing that matters. You don't matter. I do. So I just treat you with disgust or with disrespect, or I treat you rudely. Now, I thought today we would do a little survey on rudeness. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give you my top 10 forms of rudeness that irritate me, but I would like before that for you to turn to the person next to you and be rude. No. I want you to turn to the person next to you and mention one form of rudeness in our society that really irks you, okay? So turn to the person next to you. You may not know them or not. And just go, you know what really irritates me is. So take a minute and do that right now, okay? I'll wait. Go ahead. What really irritates me is. Okay, find somebody. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Some of you were saying, you know, what really irritates me is when I go to church and the pastor asks me to talk to the guy next to me. So I'm sorry. Here are my top 10 rude things that irritate me most. See if you agree with any of these. Number 10, people who phone you and ask, who's this, before identifying themselves. Does that bug you? You know, I go, who's this? I'm going to go, well, who are you? You called me. You know, I'm not telling you who I am till you tell me who you are. I just have a show a little courtesy. Number 9, people who slurp their soup. You see, I believe that soup should be seen and not heard. It's just a little thing I have. Number 8, people who honk their horn in a traffic jam that's going nowhere anyway. I mean, get a life. You know, honking the horn isn't going to get them to go any faster. Number 7, people who play heavy metal music at full volume on their boombox at the beach. Number 6, people who light their cigarette, then hold it back at your booth in the restaurant instead of smoking it. Now look, if you smoke, man, just go ahead and smoke it, okay? Just smoke. I mean, I don't want to smoke it. Hold it back there. You know, you just go ahead and smoke it yourself. Number 5, letting your children disturb everybody else at church. Number 4, people who take more than 10 items to express checkout. Does that bother anybody else? Yeah, well, it gets me. Number 3, people who litter my doorway with those little leaflets and door knocker things. I don't want it. You know, sorry, realtors, but, you know, just don't put it there. Number 2, people who leave church early during the special music. And number 1, people who come from opposite direction and steal my parking spot I've patiently waited for. You ever have that happen to you? You know, they come in the wrong way and grab your spot. I want to go, thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Yeah, and if you believe that, I got some stuff to sell you too. I need to treat everybody with respect because God made everybody. Jesus died for everybody. It shows I really know God. And number 4, because I'll get back whatever I give out. I need to be respectful because I will get back whatever I give out. It's the law of the harvest. It's the reciprocal rule. It's whatever goes around comes around. Now, whatever you want in life, the Bible has set it up in this way. God set it up. But whatever you want, you give out, you'll get back. If you want to be respected, it's real simple. Treat other people with respect. If you want to be treated and valued with dignity, it's real clear. Treat other people with value and dignity. If you want people to smile at you, you smile at them. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. The Bible says a man's life, a man's harvest in life, depends entirely on what he sows. You might write this verse down. Proverbs 11:17 says, you do yourself a favor when you're kind. In other words, it never pays to be rude. Great people, honestly, are just ordinary people who make people feel great. Great people make people feel great. And the most respected people are those who are the most respectful people. They show it, and so they receive it in life. Now, because of these four things, how can I show respect? In a world that's full of rudeness and disrespect, how can I show respect to others in a practical way? Let me give you five very practical ways to do this. On the back of your outline, number one, when I speak to other people, I need to be tactful, not just truthful. Be tactful, not just truthful. Because the primary way that we show respect is with our words. Look at this verse, Proverbs 15:4. Let's read it aloud together. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Now what he's talking about here is tactfulness. And tactfulness is a quality that we don't hear too much about today, about watching how you say what you say. Now, have you discovered that the way you say something determines how well it's going to be received? Sure. You can say the same thing in different ways and it'll be accepted or rejected. In fact, have you noticed that even inflection can change the meaning of a word? Well, of course it does. I mean, listen to this. Hello? 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 Hello! Different meaning every time. Different mood every time. The Bible says if you want to get along in life, the secret is tactfulness. It's the emotional lubrication of life. It is the thing that makes relationships go better. It reduces friction. It's the key to a happy home. It's a key to a happy marriage. It's the key to getting along in life with other people. It's the key to strong friendships. Learning how to be truthful and tactful at the same time is an absolute essential ingredient of being respectful. People with tact have often a lot less to retract, I've discovered. You don't have to eat your words so often if you say them in a kind way. Now, I collect definitions, and so this week I collected some definitions on tact. Tact is what you think, but don't say. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Tact is when someone tells you to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes you look forward to the journey. Tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about. Tact is the art of telling someone he's open-minded when he's just got a hole in his head. Tact is just changing the subject without changing your mind. Tact is speaking the truth in love.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Today, so many people are confused about who they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives. That's because they're looking in the wrong places and living by values that are at odds with God's values. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together Building Your Life on Values That Last, that will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. This vegan leather-bound, full-color, beautifully illustrated guided study will reveal what God has to say about responsibility, trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. And it will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. It'll show you practical ways to make the changes you need to get back on track. And here's the best part. You don't have to do this on your own strength. God will guide you every step along the way. building your life on values that last is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, application exercises, and lots of space for you to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. This comprehensive study tool will help you go deeper as you follow Jesus, and it's yours when you support Daily Hope financially. Call 800-600-5004 right now to get yours, or go to PastorRick.com. And when you sign up to be a partner in Hope, we'll send you a special gift to welcome you to the Daily Hope family. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Now, some people today don't understand tactfulness. In fact, they often confuse rudeness with frankness. And they think they're being frank in the way they talk when actually they're just being rude. I mean, have you ever heard people say, "Well, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may"? It's not smart at all, folks, and that is certainly not frankness. Well, if I were to say to you, "I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall," it basically says, I couldn't care less about you. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if it demeans you or demoralizes you. I don't care at all about your reaction, because all I care about is just saying whatever I want to say. Folks, that's not candor. That's rudeness. That's not being frank. That's being mean to people. It's being disrespectful. Whenever you're frank with people, and God wants you to tell the truth, you need to say it in a non-demeaning and a respectful way. Whenever you start to be frank with someone, you need to ask yourself, why am I going to say this? Why? Am I going to say this to destroy them or to develop them? Am I going to say it to build them up or to tear them down? Am I going to say this to make a point that I get credit for, or am I doing this to try to find some common ground? Am I going to say this to protect people's dignity or to punish them? You see, a lot of times when we say, think we're being frank, we think we're being having candor, we're just spouting off our anger. We're just venting our anger. And there's no value to that. That's nothing to be proud of. God says, be tactful and truthful at the same time. Number two, when I'm being served by people, I need to be understanding, not demanding. I need to be understanding, not demanding. One of the greatest tests of your character is how you treat people when they serve you. I'm talking about with waitresses or waiters, with clerks, with employees, with secretaries, with people who work for you, with your husband, with your wife, with children. When people are doing something for you, are you understanding or are you demanding? I often, when I'm hiring staff, take them to a restaurant and watch how they relate to the waitress. Because somebody who's rude and is demanding, not understanding, has a character flaw that we don't want. Luke tells us like this. Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." You see, I like what Eric Hoffer says. He says, rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. That's good, isn't it? Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Listen, it takes no intelligence at all to be rude. It's kind of like profanity. It's like cussing. It takes no IQ, no intelligence at all to cuss. I can teach a parrot with a pea brain how to say dirty words. So when you cuss, when you use profanity, that doesn't show your machismo, or if you're a woman, it doesn't show your assertiveness. It proves nothing about your intelligence. In fact, it takes no intelligence. It takes no character at all to cuss. It just means you have a limited vocabulary. On the other hand, it takes great character and great maturity and great strength to be understanding, not demanding of people. Really, the secret of service, of great service, is to treat people the way you would like to be treated. And when a waitress serves you, you be understanding that she may be under a lot of stress. She may have three kids at home and she's a single parent. Or the last three customers may have been rude to her. Or there's a slowdown in the kitchen because they got one cook instead of three, and it's not her fault. And if you're smart, if you're mature, you're understanding, not demanding, and you treat people with respect, you're sympathetic of their situations, you are considerate of their stress, and you treat them with value and with dignity. Now, of course, the best place to practice this is at home. More marriages are ruined, killed by rudeness than anything else. When I used to do marriage counseling, I was amazed at how many marriages are buried by one little dig after another. You know, just constantly putting down, constantly cutting, constantly being rude. And it's one little dig and another, you know, here a dig, there a dig, everywhere a dig, dig, and pretty soon the marriage is buried. And it's over. Now, I don't know if this bothers you, but it bothers me. Why is it that sometimes we are the most disrespectful to the people that we love the most? I know people who treat their families in ways they would never consider treating a stranger. And they say hurtful things to their families that they would never consider saying to a stranger. That's not right. That's just not right. And so God says even in our families, we need to be understanding, not demanding. I was amazed when I read this. It's not a joke. It actually was a news article about a couple who actually got an annulment on the basis of the husband's rudeness. And the wife went to court and she claimed that her husband burped all the time. And so she filed for annulment. And the wild thing is that the judge ruled in her favor and granted her an annulment on the basis that if the husband really loved his wife, she wouldn't burp so much if it annoyed her that much, that he should be more considerate. So if you're looking for a way out of your marriage, just start burping a lot, okay?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today. But first, over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
One of the reasons that I started Daily Hope is to take the message of hope, not just across our country, but all around the world, to people who need a shot of encouragement, who need the message and word of hope in a discouraging day. And that message can only be found in Jesus. Would you help me with this? I really need your help. I can't do it by myself. And I'd like to ask you to become my partner in the Daily Hope ministry. If you'll make a monthly investment as a partner in hope, you can help me broadcast these life-transforming messages from God's Word, not just here in America, but in podcasts and online and literally all around the world.
It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.